AAT Bird's weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted. 30, 20, 10, 5. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward. He fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it.
It's good! And the Eagles win!
It's all Birds. All the time.
How about them Eagles?
What is going on, everybody? It is not Wednesday night, but it is a Friday night live here on the AAT Birds Weekly Report. It is NFC Championship Week, and your birds are back in it. I am Chip for the Birds and Umpire Stories, joined as always by Johnny U 9322. Johnny, it can't come soon enough. Like, I know we waited from Wednesday night to do a Friday night show to get a little bit closer to Sunday, but it is still a little too far away from my liking. How are you feeling going into this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it is, you know, waited a few extra days. Some other news comes out, just kind of get all the info that we want in this basically jam-packed week, but I'm ready. I know tomorrow's Saturday. I kind of wish tomorrow was Sunday. You know, I'm glad they play the early game, so we don't have to wait even longer, but
yeah, agreed.
It just seems like this week is dragged on so long, and it's just like, let's get this game. All the talk, all the, you know, everything, the 49er fans doing what they do, trash talking, doing things to the Rocky statue, you know, doing a whole bunch of things. We may touch on some of that stuff, but I'm ready for the game. I'm ready to see this raucous crowd and, you know, have the seventh round pick Brock Purdy have to make some plays this Eagles defense.
And it's funny because in reality, I do feel like this week is dragged on because this is supposed to be the Super Bowl bye week. This is supposed to be the Pro Bowl week. So, like, I'm not necessarily prepared for waiting. At this point, we were already 5 years ago NFC champions. So it's definitely it feels like an extra week. It's the extra week. And, you know, all the videos that are coming out, you know, to remember were NFC championship videos. Like, we're already through this part of the gauntlet in my mind, but we're here. We've got, in my opinion, the marquee matchup of the season. I think that this is the matchup that everybody has been waiting for, including myself. I think you have the two best teams in the NFL at this point playing for the NFC championship. And I expect a good game. You know, the Giants game wasn't a good game. We talked about it this last week. The Giants game wasn't a good game because the Giants weren't a good team. San Francisco didn't really have a tough fight ahead of them because the Cowboys did what the Cowboys do in the playoffs. We were hopeful that it would be a good game, but in reality, the Cowboys really crapped the bed. Dak Prescott, who is, you know, consistently inconsistent, and new 14th string center Ezekiel Elliott could not get the job done. God, I love that play.
That was awful.
Can we just I know we're talking about the NFC championship, but could we just for a second relish being an Eagles fan and knowing that we have one of the greatest plays in NFL history in Philly and realizing that Dallas called a timeout to come up with Ezekiel Elliott at center for a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And a hook and ladder that got absolutely nothing, and it was hysterical to watch.
Yeah, that it was. Once you saw him go out there, what are they doing? And it's just they shot themselves in the foot, and that's where we get the San Francisco 49ers coming off of that that win against a very tough team. Their defense is one of the best in the NFL.
Yep.
We'll give them that. But look, the Eagles have a great defense as well, and it shows in the numbers. It shows in what they do. 75 sacks, including the postseason. They're 7 sacks away from the NFL record of all time, yeah, basically regular and postseason. this game is basically it's a tale of strengths.
Yes.
When you look at the defense of San Francisco is one of the best in the league. And you look at the Eagles offense, one of the best in the league. So you got a lot of those matchups. And like you mentioned, these are the two of the best teams. And the thing about it is when you have these two teams going up against each other, where they're so equally matched, whether it's you go position by position, there's a couple of positions where I would say the Eagles have the drastic edge, but it's going to be a very good game. But again, the Eagles got the home field advantage, which in my opinion, it means a lot, especially just looking, you want to kind of, you know, base this off of watching the World Series and, you know, that playoff run the Phillies had and the roar of the crowd and how enthusiastic they were through that whole period of the playoffs.
Sure.
And just think there'll be another, 22,000 more fans because the link holds so much more. It's just the amount of noise coming out of that stadium is going to be absolutely electric come 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Well, and I think that, you know, to kind of piggyback on the idea of home field advantage, you mentioned the Phillies, and the Phillies run was, you know, incredible. It was fantastic, but this is still an Eagles town. Like the Phillies getting there was great, but you look at the whole season leading up to it, and baseball's a longer season. You look at the whole season leading up to it, you had empty stadium. Then we got to the playoffs and it was sold out stadiums. This Eagles team has had sold out games the entire season. You mentioned some of the other things that come with home field advantage. San Francisco has to fly across the country to us. That's a problem. You know,
Sunday night.
I understand that you have a colder climate. That's a problem. You've got a lot of things that go for the Eagles' favor as far as just the idea of home field advantage. And, you know, I know that Debo Samuel tried to downplay it. You know, we have a loud stadium. Okay, great, San Francisco. It's nothing. It's nothing compared to what the Eagles have. And I think that the conversation needs to be after this game when the Eagles win. And I do think the Eagles are going to win this game. I don't know. As we get through the show, we'll get more into, you know, some of the predictions and why they're going to win. But I do think the Eagles are going to win this game. They are the best team in the NFL. They've been the best team in the NFL. But I think the conversation then has to be, hey, maybe we were wrong about this Eagles team all along, that this team is not a fluke. We got to stop coming up with the reasons why they won and just go, hey, this team won because they're a good football team.
No, you're right. That is the main key. And I feel like there's have been some disrespect this week in terms of, you know, some people, I think some of it's the clickbait media wanting to get basically that little edge on the Eagles fan base to get their clicks up, to get people to interact and all that kind of stuff. But you're looking at this Eagles team and what they've done all season. And the other key thing is looking at the injury reports, Avante Maddox is a full participant in practice, looking like he is on the verge of playing, which means the Eagles are going to have 22 out of 22 starters playing. That, like I said, I don't know if that has ever happened going into championship Sunday, if any other team has had that. But to me, like looking at Eagles wise, that's unprecedented. You're looking at the years in the past, 5-6 years, you're looking back and looking at all the injuries they had and the, you know, the players that they were bringing up and people that were on the roster and in the starting lineup. Right now, they have every single person that started opening day, opening week, week one in Detroit is starting this Sunday. And they also have, you know, some guys that have ascended, you know, Reed Blankenship, being able to, you know, have him in the role there that he's going to be doing. It's just, I think looking at this and looking the way that they've built, and if they're 100% healthy and they're basically ascending, if they play anywhere close to what they did last Saturday, I'm telling you, it's going to be the 49ers are in a little bit of trouble there.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, speaking about the idea of health, when, and I'm trying to go, you know, the yin yang side of it, I'm trying to flip the side of it where you talk about the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers team that's about to come to Lincoln Financial Field is very different than their opening day team. They added Christian McCaffrey middle of the season. They have gone through three quarterbacks because Trey Lance was the anointed one. Then he got hurt. Garoppolo came in, did the job, got hurt, and Brock Purdy has come in and been pretty good, but he hasn't done anything where he has gone out of his way to win games. It's just that he hasn't made mistakes. But either way, this team was coached to the next man up mentality, which we know from 5 years ago is a way that you can win a Super Bowl. I think the thing that the Eagles have the advantage of is you go into training camp and you have a message, and it's, hey, this is what we want to do. If we do these things, we're going to be a championship contender. And you're saying that to a room full of players that are now about to execute the last game before going to a Super Bowl. And I think that adds a lot to Sirianni's message. It gives him a lot of credibility. It gives a lot of credibility to the players. It gives a lot of credibility to AP Executive of the Year, Howie Roseman, because he brought in even more players to make this team stronger. I mean, this team, since day one, has heard the same message that if you execute and do A, B, and C, you will compete for a championship. And that's what you're finally seeing, where it's not like 5 years ago where we had to rely on the next man up mentality like the 49ers are doing this year.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of want to get into a little bit of, you know, matchup wise with these two, with these two ball clubs. And you know, I want to start on looking at matchup wise with the Eagles offense and then the 49ers defense. And in my eyes, one matchup that I'm really watching is the pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers, basically Nick Bosa. That is the main key cog to that, you know, that unit that makes it tick, makes it go. I know he's probably going to move all around. He's going to move on the different side against Mailata, against Lane Johnson. The other thing that I'm really looking at is their cornerbacks, and they're going up against Devontae and going up against AJ Brown. I think those are some matchups that are very intriguing, especially when you look at the San Francisco 49ers 25 yards plus down the field. I saw a stat on that they were ranked basically the bottom three in the NFL passer rating, you know, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, stuff like that, you know, down the field. And the Eagles were ranked right at the top. So right there, I feel, is if you're able to hold up and get basically contain Bosa and not let their pass rush or their blitz get to you, and you're able to be in the pocket, it could be for a long day in terms of being able to hit, you know, the routes down the field. And that's one thing the Eagles, of course, they didn't need to do last week. So let's see if it's something they, you know, tend to lean to against the number one rush defense in the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you mentioned is the fact that the 49ers do have a really good rushing blitzing attack when it comes to Nick Bosa. You can even go as far as to say, you know, Eric Armstead, he's pretty good too.
Oh, he's a very talented player.
You could say that, you know, Fred Warner is one of the top linebackers in football. Mm-hmm. But if you look at that team as a whole, the reason why the Eagles are going to be successful is because our offensive line is the strength of our offense. You know, Lane Johnson is the best offensive lineman in football. Jordan Mailata, I actually think what's going to end up happening, I mean, Jason Kelce is a Hall of Fame center, fine. What I actually think you're going to see more than anything is Nick Bosa lining up against Jordan Mailata just for a chance to expose our offensive line. Now, I love Jordan Mailata as a human. I think that there has definitely been a drop-off this year from what he put on paper and put on tape last year, but not significant enough where we can't game plan it. And I think what you're going to see is more help to Mailata's side. You're going to see Goddard on that side. You're going to see Calcaterra on that side. You're going to see
the RPO game is major. Make him react.
100%. Let Bosa have to react. The thing is that if you do so, the Eagles defensively have struggled against quarterbacks that can get the ball out quick.
Yeah.
The 49ers, if we can attack them with the same way that we have been attacked, if we can hit those slant routes, if we can hit those screens in the flat, if we can hit those short, quick routes, if we can get the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hand or let him make a decision very quickly, the Eagles are going to have success, especially because, like you mentioned, those corners for the 49ers are not that great. They just aren't. And our wide receivers are drastically better. So the shots are going to be there. We just have to, keyword, execute.
And the one major thing, another stat that I did hear was when the 49ers get one or fewer turnovers,
okay,
they are 4-3 this season.
Okay.
When the Eagles get one or fewer turnovers with Jalen Hurts, they are 9-0. So a team reliant on the turnovers can sometimes backfire on you, because and that's one, and I will give the 49ers credit. They are very good at causing turnovers. They've done, you know, multiple turnovers. But if the Eagles hold on to the ball and don't turn the ball over, it may be a long day for them in terms of getting the points.
And I think that you look at the 49ers team collectively, they've got a good offense. They're going to control with the running game. They're going to control by getting the ball to Debo and to Christian and to George. They're going to get the ball to Brandon. These guys are, they're good players. But I do think that Brock Purdy at some point is going to hit a wall. He's going to hit a wall where he's going to struggle.
He's going to look like that seventh round.
He's going to look like a seventh round pick at some point. See, right now he's gone against some teams that have been pretty good. Look, the fact that he beat Dallas's defense, again, I keep saying it, it's more of a credit to Shanahan's game planning. He's not asking Purdy to do too much. I think you're going to see, like you saw against Dallas, a reliance on the run game, a reliance on the quick passes. And the Eagles' rush defense is one of the best in the NFL. So once that cog of the offense is eliminated, I think you're going to see Brock Purdy have to make some plays. And you're not going against, you know, Diggs, who is either all or nothing on interceptions. You're not going against Curse, who's, you know, a big hitter but misreads balls. You're going against a top-tier secondary with all pro players. So if Brock Purdy misses just a little, like a seventh-round pick might, crazy thought here, Mr. Irrelevant might look like a seventh-round pick in this game.
Yeah, and if he turns the ball over and you have, you know, them throwing interceptions and strip sack and stuff like that, they may not be able to overcome those turnovers. And, you know, that's big. And you look at the Eagles' defensive line and their pass rush. They're one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
And the San Francisco 49ers, you know, pass blocking win rate is around 26th in the NFL. So, again, there's another key for the Eagles. So, you know, watching Hassan Reddick against McGlinchey is going to be big. Seeing if Sweat can do anything against Trent Williams, but really attacking their interior of their offensive line with Hargrave and with Cox and with Milton Williams, I think that is major, and that's key as well.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I notice about San Francisco's roster compared to the Eagles' roster, the Eagles' roster is more level across the board, right? So where we have a Josh Sweat on one side, we have a Brandon Graham on the other. We've got two really good players on both sides. And then we balance them both out. You know, we have our Ndamukong Suhs, we have our Fletcher Coxes and our Jordan Davises. So the defensive line collectively is pretty strong. Whereas the 49ers are kind of imbalanced, right? You've got Nick Bosa and then you've got some other guys, but there's a way to knock out the one guy. I think the 49ers offensive line is the same thing. There's no questioning that Trent Williams is an incredible, incredible left tackle.
Yeah.
But is the rest of their line that same strength? Because our defensive front is. Our offensive line is evenly strong across the board. Now, Lane Johnson is better than Jordan Mailata, as I've already said, but Jordan Mailata is still excellent. I can't say the same thing about McGlinchey compared to Williams. And I think that Brock Purdy is not going to have the time that he's had most of these games, which means the game plan for San Francisco is going to be get the ball out quick. And if we're jamming these receivers at the line, if our linebackers are making tackles, we have Avante Maddox back. I mean, you're going to see a complete Philadelphia Eagles defense attacking here.
Yeah. And listen, the 49ers are going to do a whole bunch of different things. It's just the Kyle Shanahan offense. They're going to have Debo in the backfield. They're going to have Juszczyk coming out of the backfield. They're going to have Kittle in the backfield. They're going to do so many different things, but you don't want to give them so many free runs into the middle of the field.
Nah.
They like to attack the middle of the field. And again, they have the weapons to do that. So that's one thing. And again, that may be very, you know, key looking at Avante Maddox being back, being able to cover the slot and be able to have CJ Gardner-Johnson roam around a little bit in the middle of the field to be able to kind of be that ball hawk safety that he was earlier when he was able to kind of do that and, you know, get an interception or two. on Purdy. So there's a lot that I like in terms of looking at this Eagles defense against this 49ers offense. Listen, the 49ers have awesome playmakers.
It's going to be a good matchup. Yeah, it is a good matchup.
If they're able to move a little bit down the field, it's going to happen. They don't have, you know, practice squad players on their offense. They have all Pro Bowl caliber players on their offense in their skill position players. So the other thing I want to bring up too is looking at the 49ers side of the ball there, you know, especially the offensive side of the ball. You know, Christian McCaffrey was on the injury report with a calf, but he was taken off. He's not 100%. We know that. That's something just to monitor, I would say, because he had kept having that bag or whatever, that warmer on his calf. He's playing. There's no doubt. He even said that. He's off the injury report. But the one to watch is Elijah Mitchell is questionable with the groin. He's their backup running back. He's, you know, the change of pace guy that they, you know, swap in and out with McCaffrey. So that is, of course, something to watch as well. There's really nothing on the Eagles side. I know TJ Edwards was listed there, but everyone's playing. But looking at the 49ers and the storylines, if you want to, you know, talk about.
Sure.
You know, there's no rookie quarterback has ever won a championship game.
Indeed.
And again, there's, I think they're 0-5 total.
Because at some point the pressure kicks in. Continue.
Well, yeah, especially the pressure kicks in. You're looking at this Eagles defense against this seventh round rookie, you know, not the strongest arm. He does seem to, if you can, my biggest thing is if you don't let him be comfortable in the pocket,
correct,
and make him basically kind of maneuver his way around the pocket, try to make a play, because that's where you potentially can get a mistake. If you're able to get him, strip the ball, do a couple different things like Hassan Reddick's done all year.
You just got to hit him. You got the Tom Brady game plan right here. As soon as you start to hit him a little bit, he's going to get jumpy and he's going to make mistakes.
Especially up the middle. And I think the other thing is, look at Jalen Hurts and the way the offense can run the ball, the way they can do so many different things with so many different running backs, whether it's Miles Sanders, whether it's Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott.
You saw it all last week.
You did. And yes, San Francisco is the number one ranked rushing defense, but they haven't seen an offense like Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, who have a quarterback that can run. You got to account for him. You have to make sure that you have a defender that's accounting for him, because if you don't, he's going to take off and he's going to get chunk yards. And that, I think that's another big thing too, is, and they did great last week. It's always stay ahead of the chains. You don't want the penalties and you don't want the negative plays to, you know, put yourself back, because you don't want to be in third and long against this defense, because Nick Bosa's, you don't want him pinning his ears back, rushing a passer. If you're going after him early in the downs, making him think that he's not just doing full pass rush every single play, and if he does, you're able to catch him, and kind of what you did with Micah Parsons early in the season and on that Sunday Night Football matchup, when you're able to kind of use him basically to run your offense in terms of running right at him. And I think that's something to watch out as well. But it's going to be a really good chess match with these coaching staffs, because these are two of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. If you're looking at the minds going up against each other,
they are two of the best coaching staffs. If you look at the 49ers, you know, Shanahan has been a proven genius for a while. D'Amico Ryans is about to be a head coach somewhere. So they have their strengths. The Eagles coaching staff collectively together enjoy coaching. They enjoy playing. I think the swag that the Eagles coaching staff has aligns themselves better with the players, because the players love to play for these coaches. Whereas the 49ers aren't a fun team. You know what I mean? They're just taking care of business. They're not a fun team. I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. You know, the fun in football is where the Eagles have had their success. And again, if you look at the kind of who's been there mentality, look, the 49ers, you're playing a rookie quarterback. You know, Christian McCaffrey has never gotten this far. Debo Samuel has never gotten this far. Nick Bosa has never gotten this far. But meanwhile, we've got the Brandon Grahams and the Fletcher Coxes and the things like that. You've got these players who have gotten this far on the Eagles side. So we kind of know what to do. And because you have the relationship of the Philadelphia coaches, where Nick Sirianni does allow the players to kind of take the lead on things. They're going to go, hey, this is how you prepare for a championship game. You don't overthink it. You go a play at a time. Jalen Hurts' championship mentality that he's had since day one is much better than the mentality that the 49ers are bringing to this game.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the 49ers, they have, you know, that they were in these type of games.
In college.
The last 4 years. Well, three of the last 4 years, the 49ers right. players, you know, were in this game. A couple of them were in the Super Bowl. But listen.
But not a lot of them.
No, not a lot of them. And the Eagles have a handful of players that were in this situation as well going in 2017. So, and not the whole team, but there's a handful. And there's a handful of guys that have been in national championships and big games in college and all sorts and align with that. But, you know, just I think you just have to not get too basically the crowd's going to be crazy. The atmosphere is going to be crazy, but you can't get so wired up that you make mistake or you just overthink it. And where I think that's where the Eagles coaching staff does a great job and are able to kind of rile that in and use their, you know, the momentum of the stadium, use that in a positive view and not just have them basically just pin their ears back and just go and see whatever happens, happens. They're not going to do that, but a couple things I wanted to bring up, talking about the 49ers and their fan base. And I did see them put out a tweet about, Brocky. They wanted to call it. It was like the poster.
Yeah, they are 30 tempting fire and fate right now.
I just don't think that they know that how the Rocky movie ends.
The first one.
Well, that's what they portrayed this as. So I'm not sure if they know how it ends. Rocky doesn't win. But so we'll see there. But also, the Rocky statue. The 49ers garb was laid on that.
Stupid. You know,
we saw it with the Minnesota Vikings. We saw it with the New York Giants last week. And now we see it with the 49ers. I don't know when they're going to learn their lesson. Sometimes it may just, you know, they may not learn their lesson. So
The speech that Kelsey's going to give in a couple of weeks is already written. You know what I mean? It's once again, it's the whole damn team. And it's everybody counting us out. You know, for a fact, when Sunday rolls around, the Fox pregame show is going to pretty much straight across the board pick the 49ers. And I'm okay with that.
I think there'll be a couple Eagles sprinkled.
I don't know. Because every single person has just said that this Eagles team can't do it. And I'm kind of at this point loving to hear it, because keep counting us out. Because when we win this week, in 2 weeks, you know we're hearing it again, because either Joe Burrow or Pat Mahomes is so much better than us. So, okay, just keep counting us out. Jalen Hurts, the fact that he has led this team to the NFC Championship. He has secured his contract for the next long amount of time. Miles Sanders having the season that he did, he has secured his contract. I mean, this team is built for a bit of a dynasty at this point.
Yeah, as long as we don't see a recurrence of the Howie Roseman, I love these players so much that I want to keep these veterans around for the next.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there is a way that it could be ruined. I don't want to, you know, be a Debbie Downer here, but.
We talked about this, you know, when a couple seasons ago, when they were rewarding age over loyalty, or they were rewarding age with loyalty rather than, you know, playing the next set of guys. I get that, but I think that everything has been put in place for this Eagles team to kind of make that next step, you know, with Juergens after Kelsey, with Davis after Cox. You know, you have the next set of guys. Now, a lot of these guys want to retire Eagles, and I'm here for that. But that means they got to take the senior citizen discount on their contracts. And I think that some of them will. I think some of them will. I think they're still going to hold out. You know, you saw like the Jason Peters plan where it's, I can still play, but can you still play at the same level? No, Jason Peters, you can't. So stop asking for that big bag.
Yeah.
I think you'll see the same idea with some of the guys. And again, good for them. If they can secure that, fine. But if you want to be an Eagle moving forward, this is our roadmap. This is our game plan. And I hope that you buy into that.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of things to be made. Hopefully we start doing that in later February when we have to talk about that. But as of right now, you know, looking at these games, we'll jump to the Uleka locks and do some predictions, and then we'll wrap it up with a couple things I want to bring up. But we'll start with the Uleka locks. And
can you play the same?
Listen, I'm getting to it. I'm working it. You know, calm down. I know you missed it, but the way we always start the Uleka locks,
it's time for the Uleka locks of the week. Who's your lock?
I know. You like that, so I got to make sure.
Thanks.
You get it in there. You get that. But Uleka locks. Go ahead, Chip. What do you got for this week? Because last week, the only one that was right was Kendall.
What did we say last week? I even forget.
Well, you had Cincinnati Buffalo scoring 75 points or more. Wrong again. Maybe you should stay away from that.
All right.
And then I had the Jags with the lead in the fourth quarter, which we mentioned and the recap show that did not happen. Kendall had, there's no way Dallas beat San Francisco. There was a way. They just Dallas shit the bed.
Kind of going with Adam's comment here. Says we're underdogs again at home. By the Vegas line, it's a 2.5-point spread. The Eagles do have it, but that's that home field advantage spread. I find it interesting that the Bengals-Chiefs spread is 1.5. So that game, they're expecting that to be the marquee matchup.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, well, now that I've got my gambling fix out of the way, I think that this Eagles team, my lock of the week is that I think Jalen Hurts has a bit of a day. I have him with 3 passing touchdowns.
Ooh, okay, Hurts. 3 pass TDs.
And I'm specifying passing, because I think he'll probably run one into, but I know he'll have 3 passing touchdowns.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go stay with this game as well. I'm going to go with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is going to be sacked 3 times and have a turnover.
Agreed.
So whether it's a strip sack fumble, whether it's an interception, got 3 sacks, at least 3 sacks, and a turnover.
Can I have a secondary Uleka lock? Something else that I think could happen?
That is fine.
It's but a combo. It's kind of a combo lock.
They're both wrong.
I don't know. It's kind of like a combo lock with yours, though.
Well, go ahead.
I think that turnover is going to be relying on the middle of the field. My combo lock is that TJ Edwards has the interception.
Okay, TJ Edwards, INT. All right, that's good. Hey, I will take that. And Adam here going AJ Brown, 10 catches and 2 touchdowns. Again, that would be very, very nice. We're going to get into predictions now. We'll do that. Julie's got 27-17 Eagles. So, you know, Javier said that you took it. So,
which one?
Probably the TJ Edwards interception.
I think it could happen because you're going to see him try to hit Kittle so many times, and I think TJ Edwards is going to be sitting there in the middle of the field.
Hey, that'd be fine with me. But go to our predictions now. What do you think this game? I know you mentioned earlier that you think the Eagles get the W, but
I do.
What do you have in terms of score? And, you know, lay it out here.
So I think that if you recall last week, and I said this, I thought that the Cowboys 49ers game was going to be low scoring, and it really was. I had a 17-10 score. What was the final score? 19-12, something ridiculous. So you look at this 49ers team, and they only put up 19 points against a good Dallas defense. The Eagles defense is better. Philadelphia is a hostile place to play. The weather is going to be a certain type of way. The defense is all healthy. Brock Purdy is a rookie quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant, going into the link for an NFC championship. I think that the 49ers only manage 14 points to the Philadelphia Eagles, 27.
27-14. Okay. And Javier said that I took the lock, so it must have been the Purdy 3 sacks and a turnover. So great minds think alike. And I only said that because it's my lock and not Chip's. Julie's got BG with another sack. That would be great to see. BG getting a sack. Adam's got Eagles 31, Niners 17.
I'll be here for it.
Exactly. I'll be here for it too. So for me, I think the Eagles are going to be able to get to Purdy. I think they're going to be able to, you know, just rattle them a little bit. Eagles will be, again, the Eagles are going up against a great defense in San Francisco. I'm not saying they're going to score tons of points, but I think the Eagles, they win 24 to 17. And I think the 49ers score late.
Yeah, one of those ones that's, we're already handing out hats.
Field goal and or touchdown late to have to then, you know, onside kick, all that kind of stuff. But I got 24-17, Eagles, to get the W. But,
hey, listen, if any of that happens, I'm still not drinking a beer. So I haven't had one since January 1st started. You know my commitment to this. I haven't drank until the last time I didn't drink. The Eagles won a Super Bowl. So cheers to the Eagles.
I'm not drinking either. So, and I just do it because I don't want to. But the other thing I want to bring, up two things here before we close it out and say peace to the people. Bart Scott, talking about superstar quarterbacks, okay, mentions that there's only three superstar quarterbacks. Mahomes, Burrow,
mind-boggling.
Jalen Hurts, the Eagles starting quarterback, Jalen Hurts is not a superstar. He's a product of the system and everything, all that good malarkey, everything there. But my question is, my one question is, Josh Allen, a superstar quarterback, why? Because he has physical tools. What has he showed you the last three seasons? Well, actually, no, four seasons, 19, 20, 21, 22. He's shown you that he can't get over that hump. And
I see where you're going with this. And here's the thing. Dan Marino's in the Hall of Fame. Jim Kelly's in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You can be a incredible quarterback and just never be quite good enough. And I think that that's what's happening a lot with Josh Allen. Look, playing in Buffalo is a tough place to play. I'm not going to lie. You know, you're playing in all kinds of crazy conditions. But if you look at the four quarterbacks remaining, right, Pat Mahomes, proven entity of excellence, fine, great, whatever. Joe Burrow, showing that you can't really stop the guy. All you can do is hope to slow him down enough to beat him. Great. He's done that since he was at LSU and just being whatever he was. If you're looking at these two NFC quarterbacks, anybody that could look and say, out of the four quarterbacks remaining, Jalen Hurts is the fourth best. Is an idiot. Is a flat-out moron. Because you want to talk about a system quarterback? Every quarterback that has played in San Francisco this year has been successful. Why? Because Shanahan puts together a system. You had Jimmy Garoppolo successful. You had Trey Lance successful until he was hurt. You had Brock Purdy successful. Jalen Hurts proves that he's not a system quarterback. Why? Because you tried to put Gardner Minshew in the same system, and it doesn't work. If it was a system quarterback putting Gardner Minshew in the same system, it would have worked. It didn't. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. It is completely moronic to say that he's not. But keep writing us off. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one was what you mentioned with Craig Carton, who does an FS1 show. You know, I think he's at WFAN.
Guy's a moron.
Yes, he's.
That's clickbait right there. That was clickbait right there.
He put Jalen Hurts as number four and kind of chuckled and laughed and, you know, all that, you know, garbage. Again, you know what he looks like? He looks like Caillou. That's what he reminds me. Remember the show Caillou?
My kids weren't allowed to watch Caillou because I was a whiny brat.
Bingo. That's what this guy is. He's a whiny brat. That's all he does. And the last thing that kind of threw it over that I know he's just throwing hate because he can't stand the Eagles because his New York teams are garbage is top five players in the NFC Championship game. Every single one was a 49er. Even Brandon Ayuk.
Okay, cool.
But it's funny because I like that. Because when the Eagles get the win and this guy has to then talk about them again because, you know, it didn't go the way he wanted to, he's going to put another narrative out there. It's going to be on there. It's going to be all over social media. But again, more clickbait, more bulletin board material, and just how we like it.
I like being considered the underdog. You know, we have an entire clothing brand because of it. you know, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. But going out of positivity, Eagles play on Sunday, NFC Championship game to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. I'm stoked. I can't wait. Definitely keep it, you know, keep our note, you know, subscribe, follow, hit the notification buttons, you know, so you get notified when we go live, when we have shows, everything along the lines of that. Some cool stuff planned. Eagles get the win, do this kind of stuff. We got a lot more fun content to bring you guys. So we do appreciate everyone tuning in, everyone commenting. Love the conversation tonight.
Absolutely.
But with that, we do have to say goodbye, and we do have to do it in a very happy and joyful. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Birds.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.